all you proudly resent listeners out there, just remember, you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
This is Proudly Resents. I'm Adam Spiegelman here at Jimmy's house. Jimmy Dore, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Adam.
Great. And Eric Drysdale here is also.
Hello.
We're going to proudly resent The Apple.
Yep.
1980. You like how I make it the title of the show?
Yes.
Part of the thing.
Yes.
I stole that from We Hate Movies, but listen, who gives a shit? This is a great movie that Eric brought up to me years ago. Eric said, you got to see this movie called The Apple.
Yes.
And just found a Netflix streaming. You had to go out and find it and buy it years ago.
Yeah, I can't remember who. It might have been Rich Dom from Colbert who told me about it.
Really? So this is you really love bad movies.
I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're the perfect guy for this show.
Yeah,
it works out for the show.
That's why Adam invited me, I guess.
Yeah, it came out.
And I was always a fan of Xanadu. But I actually think that that The Apple is more entertainingly bad than Xanadu is.
It's more inept than Xanadu.
It's more ambitious than Xanadu in an odd way, even though Xanadu has, you know, Gene Kelly. And I think The Apple, the songs are bigger and worse. You know, at least Jeff Lynne is a competent.
Yeah, did you talk about Xanadu with Olivia Newton?
Olivia Newton-John, yeah.
This came out around the same time. Oh, this is a total ripoff.
This couldn't be that bad as that. I mean, Xanadu is better than this.
Right, but I'm saying that.
It had Olivia Newton-John in it.
I know saying the people involved are better.
Yeah, that's what made that better,
and,
right?
You know, the songs are kind of decent.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne's good, I think.
Yeah. And but that's not the case with this movie, and I find that's a lot more fun.
No,
they were not available.
I couldn't get over how bad the songs were, and not only that, but the choreography wasn't good either. Like they were doing a disco thing and they were tap dancing, and I'm like, tap dancing in a futuristic movie?
Well, I mean, this was the thing about disco though. There was always an attempt to like make disco classy,
right?
And there was always like a subgenre of disco that was like 30s Ball in the Jack. Like somebody had like a disco hit with Ball in the Jack or something,
right?
And
even like the Planets or you know all this like classical music and anything they could think of to put into disco,
right?
It was
like always an attempt to legitimize disco by like bringing in something classy.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that's right. That remember when they tried to, it was disco swing. Remember when they did
disco swing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the guys would basically remix their songs to be more current with the kids.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
So this is a seemingly high budget kind of Xanadu disco musical extravaganza.
Disco rock, and I think there was like an attempt to like actually make a cult movie. I think that there was a part of it that was like kind of Rocky Horror-ish.
Such a ripoff of Rocky Horror.
Parts of it are really ripoffy of Rocky Horror.
I guess this takes place in the way future
of
1994.
They sing a song about 1994.
How things are going to change in the big future.
It's going to be all about show business.
Life is nothing but show business in 1994.
The whole world just cares about show business in 1994.
Yeah. I find that that's another thing about... there's a whole other genre of futuristic rock movies.
Uh-huh.
The story is always that rock is outlawed in the future. Either rock is outlawed in the future, or I think this one is weird because like, the guy, Bim, who runs the music company, Boogaloo Music International, is this company, becomes in and of itself like this police state of rock and roll disco.
Yeah, they kind of govern everything. It's like, it's a huge music company.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
so we were talking about the music industry and all these futuristic rock and roll films. Like, what are some of the films you were talking about?
Well, there's one of the best is there was a long form music video back when those were made by Styx. Based on their Mr. Roboto. Like that Mr. Roboto thing is that's just like a piece of a futuristic rock musical where, of course, rock and roll music is outlawed. And there's a whole thing where it's performed like a concert, but they have these robots on stage. And it actually, it was one of the things that broke up the band.
Really?
Yeah, because actually the Styx behind the music is one of the best, if you can find it, because there's this whole fight about robots in it. He's Tommy Shaw, who was like the rock and roll guy, and then he says, just got to the point I didn't want to sing about robots anymore. Anyway.
You said that. We're going back to the Apple.
The Apple.
But this town is, or it's like the world is run by this music company, BIM Music, or and then everyone has to wear a little triangle on their face.
Yes, a little plastic triangle on their heads.
The movie opens with a concert.
Yes, sort of based on the Eurovision Song Contest almost.
Right, or
it's called the World Vision Song Contest in the movie.
See, it looks normal. It looks like it could be present day when you see the movie.
Really?
I think so, yeah. It's just like a weird costume.
The movie that I just saw, Apple?
Yeah, no, the very beginning when the concert starts.
No way.
No.
No way. That doesn't look like it could be right now.
Until they go backstage.
Where do you live?
No.
I live in Futureland.
First of all, it's funny how they thought musical instruments would look in the future. Like somehow we feel a need to redesign the musical instruments to be more futuristic, even though we've been using the same musical instruments since the invention of them.
Right. Yeah. The drum hasn't changed.
Never needed to change what the horn looked like. Right. We don't need to make it look futuristic.
No, futuristic trombone in the movie.
Yeah. Oh,
in one of the parts, they do a very close up. It's like a square trombone.
Yeah,
a lot of things are squared off to make it more futuristic. They have BIM glasses. I'm skipping ahead. There's a party. He goes, "Would you like to all drink from BIM glasses?" And they're basically just cylinders.
Yes, they're cylinders.
Yeah, it's still a glass. Still,
it's
holds.
Funny how people. Yes, it's like you don't need to be so futuristic with the thing that just holds liquid.
Right. You know, it's still just, the same.
Well, in some of the TV shows that in the future, liquids, if you order a drink, it will be blue.
Yes, right.
In the future, all the drinks will be blue.
Blue. They like
unappetizing colors in the future, and they realize.
Or funky colors.
Right. Yeah. Everything gets funky.
It's a chartreuse drink.
Yeah. Well, it's the future. Listen, what am I? 1800s?
It's a square glass. It's a chartreuse drink. It's got to be 1994.
Yeah, was this 1990? I need a.
Isn't it funny to see what people thought the future would look like, especially the clothing? In the 80s, everybody thought the clothing in the future was going to be very, like, I don't know, angly, like with everybody had wings and shoulder pads and very sharp angles on their clothing, right? And why did they think people would dress like that in the future?
I think because they wanted to dress like that then. Like, I think that that's what they were trying. I mean, because if you watch, you know, they did have like these big shoulder pads and.
I know. I dressed like that in the 80s, you know?
Oh, yeah. We've seen your album cover. You got the sleeves rolled up. And he's like, hairline food. It's called Jimmy What the?
The double-breasted waiter jacket. Yeah, that was me.
But another thing that I think separates the Apple from, and I don't want to compare it to Xanadu.
It's apples and oranges.
It's the apple and oranges. But the other thing is that I think that the fact that it was shot in Berlin and made by, the script was written by two Israelis. And you get the sense that a lot of the people involved in it are not native English speakers. I think that that adds a dimension of. I mean, the most of the main actors are, but there's just some weird.
Well, they're from Moose Jaw,
yeah,
right, or something like that.
Or some weird
Moose Jaw, Canada.
That's one of the great signs. I talk about a lot of bad films is when someone who writes a film is not a native English speaker, and a lot of times they'll hire a blonde, all American looking guy, name him Johnny. And then have him speak this broken English. And you got this big football player guy going, "Me want glass," you know, that looked fine.
Isn't that what they did with that the room?
The room. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Johnny!
Yeah. The way he's speaking is like the way you would interpret English.
Yes.
And it's also the how you think Americans would talk. And now how do you think Americans would talk in the future? The guy who did make the movie, Golan, produced tons in the 80s, tons and tons of crappy movies. And that was, I think this is the only movie he wrote and directed. But he wrote and directed this movie. He had a vision.
I don't think he wrote it.
Oh, he did the screenplay. Kobe Wright did the story?
Yes. Okay, that's it. It was based on an Israeli musical play by these two people. And they brought it to him for financing. And he was like, "Let's make this is great stuff. Let's make a movie of it."
It's like they made a movie. It's like they... When I was in advertising, they would say there's two things. There's like the copy that you write, that's the words and then there's a copy strategy. And very often a copy strategy becomes the copy, which is horrible. And that's an example of that would be like Wrigley's is pure chewing satisfaction. So that's not really something creatively written. That's an idea you're supposed to then go execute creatively, which they never did. They just said the thing that they wanted you to get out of it.
Right.
So that's what this movie seemed like to me. Like, okay, so then you have to have, they sign a contract and it's like, it couldn't be more like a template for, okay, they're going to get in show business as singers. Someone's going to try to exploit them. And then the guy's going to make them sign a contract that's bad for them. But he's going to, but it was like so unsubtle. I don't know. What's the opposite of subtle?
The apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, very.
It was like, oh, hey, you get these, all of a sudden, these great. Come here, sign a contract. Oh, can I read it yet? Just sign it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
As a producer, I think it was great manipulation. He goes, I can't sign it. I'll sign it tomorrow. He goes, you know, I won't be here tomorrow. Yes. I said, can I wait a couple hours? I go, you've got an appointment in 20 minutes.
You're going to be on the West Coast next week.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. The guy's a genius. That guy, I worked for that guy, actually. Yeah.
None of it seemed plausible. That's how you.
That's what didn't seem plausible.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that seemed more like a template for, yes, okay, this is the scene. Now go do it in a believable way.
Well, I mean, none of this is a believable.
Yes,
way. Way the guy knows that the music executive Bim is the devil is that he sees a vision of him as the devil. Like, there's nothing subtle about it.
Yes,
all of a sudden he's in hell with the guy, and he's like, oh. This guy must be.
And not only is he in hell, with the guy, but his henchmen are literally trying to tempt the woman with an apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, a literal apple.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And all hell breaks loose.
And all literally all hell breaks. Not figuratively.
No. So there's a song contest at the beginning of the thing, and this innocent couple from the Sticks, basically, from the
book. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
And I also found interesting that they didn't know what the Sticks meant. When someone told them, oh, you're from the Sticks, what does that mean? Everybody from the Sticks knows what that means, where they're from.
The Sticks, because they're like, ugh, yeah, I live in the Sticks.
They're painfully aware that they're from Nowheresville. I've been to Nowheresville's all over the world. They know.
And they don't say what town they're from. They're just like, you ever heard of Ohio? I'm in Ohio. Yes. Yeah. Chicago.
They name
three states.
They name the biggest city close by.
Yeah.
They'll go, yeah, I live. Where are you from? Well, Minneapolis. Oh, well, not really. It's worth 3 hours if you take a left. Oh, right, okay.
And what's the big city in Saskatchewan?
Saskatoon.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been all over Saskatchewan. I've probably been to Moose Jaw. I've been to Turtleford, Moose Jaw, Regina.
How's the comedy scene?
It was hopping.
Yeah.
It was hopping. Are you kidding me? It was fantastic. I used to tell the people, I would end every show with, now folks, you know that the road I came in on also goes the other way. You know that.
I don't get it.
They don't get it.
But
no.
Two people did take your advice and they went to the Bim Jar, whatever this place is.
We're doing a terrible job of summarizing this movie, by the way.
Are we?
I think it is what it is. It's Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Xanadu.
Yeah.
Meets the Jetsons outfits.
Yeah.
The outfits from the Jetsons.
I got the sense that we were going to try and go through the plot a little bit, but you know what? I think it's foolish at this point.
I think it's an innocent couple. It gets tempted by the devil. She, of course, bites the apple, goes in there, and the guy does not. And now,
and then she becomes a big star, but gets sucked into this bad thing.
I don't see her life is so bad, though.
Me neither.
Like nothing bad happened, except she can't be with that guy.
She just couldn't be with this guy who didn't want to be famous.
Meanwhile, he turned.
Well, no, not just that he didn't want to be famous. He wanted to do crappy folk music instead of crappy disco music.
Right.
La 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 la. That's how they started their song. La la. I was just like, again. This is like this whole movie is a copy strategy. Uh-huh. It's like they didn't write anything. Like it's like an outline of a movie. Okay, then you should have a scene where the guy tries to get her to sign the contract. Hey, sign the contract. Okay, that's it.
Now sing a crappy song where people go la 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 la.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Okay,
thing.
La la la. Let's have a scene where the devil, in a way that she's being sucked into the underworld. Oh, we'll just have the devil come out then with
and
an apple
and suck her into the underworld.
Literally, this is what's happening in this movie.
They have they perform at this concert. They do really well. The devil sabotages them, so the audience hates them.
Right.
And after the concert,
by sabotaging how many heartbeats per minute they get or something.
Yes, yes. So that's how they can tell if someone's a good act, because somehow they're able to monitor people's heartbeats. And if the heartbeats go up to 150,
right,
that means they're a hit. So these people get up to 151, but still the audience hated them. Right?
No, they loved them, and then they put in this red cassette tape.
Oh, is that what
happened? That would ruin everyone's heartbeat. And all of a sudden the audience is like, this is bullshit, you suck.
Okay.
They saw for what it is. It sucked to begin with.
Yes, it did suck to begin with.
Yeah, it wasn't great. The devil has a party, and the innocent couple says, are you laughing because I'm trying to keep on track?
That the devil has
devil has a party, and she... she's the innocent couple, the woman convinces the guy to go. And that's like the Rocky Horror scene, where... They walk in. It's like Brad and Janet's car breakdown, and they walk in and
Frank it's this freaky scene. Yeah,
yeah. Everyone's in this crazy costume, futuristic Rocky Horror costume. It was like a theme party, and they're drinking from Bim glasses.
Yes,
that was great.
Square glasses.
Bim glasses. So in the future, we're going to drink out of square glasses with colored with things that are brightly colored liquids.
Yes,
right. Blue. Your reds.
What I did feel like kind of. Fit maybe just the teenager in me when the guy comes up to the devil who we don't know is the devil yet and says I got these Bim earrings and he's like oh these are terrible who gives a shit he goes no they're triangles then you have to wear it on your face and then everyone's like oh we got to wear it on our face this is fantastic it just felt like in high school and in the especially in the 80s when people were wearing fluorescent shirts and you're wearing black rubber bands around your arm.
Oh yeah,
you know, like those are from plumbers. You know, like we were just
those are from plumbers.
You put
I
that around
the sink. Grenades.
Oh really? The black bands?
I don't remember the black bands.
Oh, they're just like
I was in the. I grew up in Chicago. Maybe we didn't make it that
you got
far west.
Too cool.
We maybe didn't make it out that way. That's all I'm saying.
The land of leg warmers.
I love leg warmers. Yeah. They turn me on, even if they're on a girl. Even if they're on a girl,
even.
That's how sexy they are.
They do turn me, even to this day.
Even now.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It reminds you of the old days.
A leg warmer gets me going. I get a boner. I'm not kidding.
And now we're back to Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, that's probably why. You know, as a kid, you know, they all wore leg warmers. Ooh. Why can't we go back to those days?
Okay, this is now warm. Getting creepy.
I miss the old days. I miss the old porn where you could see a whole woman's body, but that's another story. Now the cameras.
Leg warmers in the closet.
The camera's too close nowadays.
Actually, while we're on the subject, there's actually yet another terrible Olivia Newton-John musical, which is extremely hard to find. Which was her first movie in 1969 called Tomorrow, which is it's not as fun to watch as either Xanadu or The Apple, but it has some really amazing things in it. For instance, it's an outer space story. It's this band, and the guy is kind of a wizard with electronics and invents a keyboard that has very pleasing vibrations that can be used to save this alien planet. So the aliens come down and abduct the band to help do it.
Sure.
But the weird part about the whole film is weird. But then there's the B plot is that there's a problem with the faculty at their art school. And there's like they have like a sit-in at their art school and it gets really into the minutiae of the administration of their art school.
Is that because they're like, well, sit-ins are big now. Kids love to do sit-ins.
I guess so.
If I can get – you know, they always say like –
it's the best space abduction musical about school, art school administration I've ever seen.
Wow. That is a subgenre. Yeah. I got to tell you.
That's a subgenre.
Yes. I came in first in the Boston Marathon in my category, 45-year-old guys named Jimmy.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
You almost didn't make it.
I didn't almost.
You know, they always say, like, if I can get the people online, you know, for video games into the movie theater – we can make some money. It's like they must have looked at a sit-in and said, if I can get all those kids in the sit-in in the movie theater, then, you know, we'll make a lot of cash.
And the same with the Apple. If I can get all these disco people.
Out of the disco.
You know, well, and, you know, there was Xanadu and there's.
Oh, there's tons of happened. The Breaking and then all the, what's it? The Forbidden Dance movies that came out.
Oh, the Lambada Dance.
Lambada Dance.
The Lambada.
Oh, the Forbidden Dance of Love. The Lambada.
If I can get those people off the dance floor. Because, you know, if you love to dance and move around.
You want to sit down and watch a movie.
Yes. You like a place where you rub up against women for hours and.
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. And you wanted to stop doing that and watch other people do it.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You want to stop doing it yourself and watch other people do it.
The hours you rehearse and you practice and the outfits you bought.
You don't have to practice to watch people.
No.
I could do that.
I feel like I should have a bell like, now back to the Apple.
Ding. Yeah, we should have.
But there's a couple things with the party. The innocent couple walks into this party and they say, oh, do you want a drink? And the guy says, no, I don't drink. It's kind of a dick. And then they say, would you like to drink the hurt? It's like, oh, yeah, fantastic. Sure. And then.
Yes. Isn't that funny? She goes, I'll have a little champagne.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah. What?
And then there's a guy who's seducing her. Looks like Davy Jones from the Monkees. And he walks her over to a place by herself. And he says, you want to take this pill? And she's like, oh, yeah.
That was the craziest thing. He goes, take this pill. She said, what is it? Oh, don't worry. Just take it. Where does that ever – that never happens.
No.
That never, ever, ever
okay,
happens.
Okay, I'll take it.
Is that really what happens at part? Just take it. Okay.
or yeah, his excuse was like, it won't kill you. Yeah. It will knock you out for a few hours.
Yeah. Has that ever, I'm serious. Right. So why would you put that in a movie? I've never been to a party where someone just took a pill. They didn't know what the hell it was. I mean, maybe it happened somewhere.
But in the future, it'll happen all the time.
Maybe at a Lindsay Lohan's parties, but it doesn't happen with these two kids from Moose Jaw. Are you kidding?
They're like, oh, well, this pill, I mean, I've been warned, but I guess I'll just try it. Now she's, maybe it was her breath. Who knows?
Well, yeah, she really didn't make a lot of smart decisions, but at the same time, like, I never thought about it before, but yeah, you're right. Her life wasn't that, she was separated from this guy, but other than that...
Oh, yeah, when she became a big star.
Yeah.
Yeah. They told her what to do, and she rode in cars and lived in a big house.
And had sex with that Robert Daltrey-looking guy.
And yeah. And that's about it.
That's it, right? And then she missed her freaking loser folk song buddy. That's all.
After she takes the pill with this Roger Daltrey guy, she falls in love with him, and they have this crazy love song about how they're each other's destiny.
Right.
But then it never follows up the rest of the movie. Like, they're not
really... Well, it's more like he thinks she's... his destiny.
Right. And
she doesn't
know much.
Yeah. She just sort of does whatever anybody tells her. She's not really a strong woman character.
I like doing the show because a lot of times I think I'm smarter than the movie. And as I'm talking, this has happened a lot. And the other people are like, no, you're an idiot. This is what actually happened. So I need to do the show so I understand the crappy movies I'm watching.
So what? So
it's more for me.
So you're starting to get your eyes opened right now about At the Apple?
Yes. There's some things I missed, subtleties in the Apple.
Really?
There were subtleties in it? I thought they left all the subtleties out.
No, they put you probably couldn't see the subtleties because they put rockets on them and lit them off. I mean, it's harder to notice them.
There's this part and the guy says, the devil says, come to my music place. And we can sign contracts. Mm-hmm. We're going to make you guys big. In the waiting room, with all these weird, random acts just sitting around like a sad clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
Yeah. In the future, those will be the big music acts.
Oh,
sad clown.
Sure.
And then there was the Ballet 2000, which is not a ballet.
At all.
And they do a number called Life is Nothing But Show Business in 1994.
And they were dressed kind of like Esther Williams. Is that the
Esther Williams is more in the water.
Yeah, it looked like they were wearing like swim outfits.
Oh, yeah,
maybe it did look like that. But they were silver and glittery.
Oh yes,
so yeah. And like they were doing kind of these faux Bob Fosse movies.
And I will say, very easy fix for would at least help it. The movie for sure was more titty. I couldn't believe.
No, zero.
Almost zero titty in the whole movie.
No, there was none.
None?
There was none.
There was none. Why?
That was yours. You look down, you're like, oh, there's my...
Why not titty?
I don't know. Are they looking for a PG rating? They want all the kids to come see the disco movie?
I guess so.
I would get people to come. I mean, well, did the other movies have...
nudity? No, yeah. There's no nudity in Xanadu.
And then, you know, Sergeant Pepper, they remind me of, too, that...
That's a bad movie that I can't even sit through. Like, that is so...
What movie is that?
The Sergeant Pepper...
Lonely Hearts Club? The Beatles movie?
No, the one with Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They use their music.
Oh, I didn't see
that. They had the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton playing the lead. And they
were
musical. Oh, God, it was so bad.
Really?
And at the end, they do this. They replicate the album cover, and they have all these celebrities singing Sergeant Pepper... And right, they're singing Sergeant Pepper or they're singing something else?
I don't know.
All You Need Is Love?
I don't remember.
But they have they're running out of 70s celebrities. So it's Rosie Grier and Carol Channing.
Well, in the 70s, Rosie Grier was B list. I mean, not C or D list. I mean, that was.
But it's just weird. It wasn't like a rock thing to have Carol Channing or Rosie Grier. I just felt like, you know, the kids love the.
Carol Channing. That movie is no fun at all. Like, I can enjoy a really bad movie, but that one, that one, in addition to defiling the memory of the Beatles,
right,
is just horrendous. The only thing that's any fun at all is the fact that there's a part where two robots sing "She's Leaving Home," which is very touching.
Yeah. Well, there's a very scary scene when they sign the contract with his blood. And again, I think it's the devil. They get Peter Frampton really high.
Really? I don't remember that.
Oh, and he's like, doesn't know what he's doing, and he gets him to sign in his blood. Gave me fucking nightmares for like 10 years.
And it was
years.
The same thing, music contract?
Music contract. It was a huge scroll. Mm-hmm. Music contract, yeah. So I kind of Beyond also the Apple, the way it was shot looked like the nightmares I had when I was a kid. I guess because all the movies and stuff were shot like that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, so, somebody said that. Did you mention it already on this show that it looked like they shot most of the scenes from the Apple in an airport?
It looked like the future apparently looks like an airport, like an Denver airport. Mm-hmm. Airport.
Yeah, and the trams look like airport trams.
The future trams look like the one you can take from JFK to the subway stop. And
I think it was just, yeah, they thought, what is the most futuristic thing that we could find? I think it was shot in Berlin.
Which is pretty cool to begin with.
Yeah, it's new because it was destroyed.
Right. Yes, it's pretty current.
I feel like we've been stuck at this, signing the contract.
But the whole movie was about the contract, pretty much, right? Isn't that pretty much was the whole thing? Immediately, as soon as they get a little bit of fame, he wants him to sign the contract. She does, he doesn't. And that's the whole
movie. She becomes a star, and we see a bunch of her things.
Right.
He goes onto Skid Row, kind of, mm-hmm. and gets taken by this caricature of a Jewish woman.
Yes.
So great. He goes to... like the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Of Berlin.
In the future of 1994. Like, it looks exactly out of an old movie, right? And then the woman who is not his mother, she's like the landlord.
Yeah, she's the landlord.
She's got the stereotypical Jewish...
But it's like a terrible, terrible stereotypical Jewish voice. Why don't you come in here and have some soup?
Literally, that's the line. And she says, you teenage kids are so mashugana.
Yeah.
Oh.
She says, here, eat this. And he says, what is it? It's chicken soup. Shut up and eat it. And I was like, oh, he just got beaten up. Time for a little chicken soup.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Well, I felt like she was right to say that because he's like, what is it?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I am a walking caricature of a Jewish woman. What else would I be serving you besides chicken soup?
She's apparently in the – that woman is actually in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, really?
Or in the first one. But it's one of the worst – and most egregious stereotype of a old Jewish nag that I've ever seen. It's really bad.
It's really bad. And at first I thought it was his mother.
Only an Israeli could have come up with that.
It's true. Oh, yes. Yeah, I wonder what it was in the play. It wasn't that bad. But he's like, listen, we need to amp it up. Trust me.
Trust me.
Yeah, I thought it was his mother. I was like, oh, we have a British guy with a stereotypical Jewish mother. In the future, they hold on.
A sort of British Canadian guy. Yeah. I haven't seen the movie in a little while, but doesn't he go and like record another song at some point?
So he tells the landlady, I'm going to pay the rent because I'm going to sell this song. And he writes from his heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what he was doing.
Keeps her up all night.
From playing, from writing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to sell it. You know, it goes to sell like you do, songwriters do.
Sure. You go to the song selling place.
The song selling place. He's in there. He's in a recording studio already, right away. He plays the song, beautiful, typical rock song, like upbeat rock song. And like, no, we only do disco.
Do they say disco?
We only do like these type of music. And can you make it more current and what the kids will listen to? And it's like, hell no. I'm not selling out.
He's got integrity.
He's kind of right. What the kids were listening to kind of sucked.
Oh, it was bad. Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know if I would necessarily prefer his, though.
And this is where I stopped watching the movie. So now I'm interested. Like,
now you want to know what happened.
Now I want to know what happened. I'll keep you guys on story now.
Well, he falls in with like a hippie communist.
Well, no, first he goes to try to save her. He sees her come into – that's the
Okay, I saw this
twist.
Part where he goes in and tries to get her to get out of the contract, right?
Yeah.
He tries to get her out of the crazy sex party where there's the kind of Donna Summer ripoff song that's – that has like this kind of Busby Berkeley number with a bunch of people on beds having sex with each other.
Yes.
Oh, and they keep cutting to at one beat a guy spinning on a chair with a girl on her lap, and he's at a desk chair, and it's like be like beat beat beat, and the second one's always a guy spinning with a chair with another girl sitting on his lap. Because the editor's like, this is genius.
I know.
Yes. Consistency.
Yeah.
But do you think the editor was like, I'm a minute before I kill myself, I'm just going to slip in like shit like this and see if anyone notices?
I thought you were going to say, you think the editor was like, I'm going to kill myself after I watch a minute more of this movie?
I cannot do any more of this. So in the beginning, he does not drink. He says, I don't drink. He was kind of a dick about it. Now he walks into this party and they say, you want a drink? Yeah, give me it. And he orders a specific drink.
And then he gets like some special razzmatazz passion, like her specialty, right?
Again, don't trust that.
Again, you won't. You're not going to sign the contract here, but you will take a drink from them.
A drink that they are making up. They won't tell you what it is.
And it does fuck him up, right? He goes into like a hallucinatory thing.
Yeah, he's definitely been... He got drugged, right?
He got drunk, and it was really awful. He wound up sleeping with this beautiful woman. Terrible things happened.
Yes,
yeah,
terrible.
It was awful. And then he finds his love and tries to get her back, and she doesn't remember who he is. He freaks out and runs out. Then she wakes up in the morning and says, I had a dream that he tried to get me back, and I didn't know who he was. And the guy's like, it happened. Like, it's really a weird scene. Like, they didn't know how to solve him not getting her.
Right.
You know, they could have just done something else. She could have been like, no, this is my life now, or whatever.
And then one of the BIM singers takes pity on her and says, no, go to him.
And she does go to him?
She leaves, right.
Why?
And then,
why would she go to him? She was happy.
She was doing great. She's in this huge place. She's sleeping with the Roger Daltrey lookalike.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
it
doing
fine. It looked nice. It looked like a good life.
It looked like, yeah, they were doing well. They're drinking rectangular glasses. I mean, you go to the Lower East Side of Berlin, you got to drink out of round glasses, cylinder glasses. Yeah.
They don't know what it's like to have a blue drink in a square glass.
Blue drink in a square glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking living. That's high class problems if I've ever seen it.
But I haven't seen it in a little while, so and also the end has never made sense to me, so it never like clicked what actually happens, because there's a thing where he gets picked up by this bum character under a bridge, like he goes.
Oh, so he is that the hippie guy?
The hippie guy, yeah.
So he one more chance to try to save his girlfriend. She's leaving a concert and she's walking to her car. And he sees her, and she's being mobbed by fans, and she has the devil henchmen. Well, you know they're evil because they have two front teeth.
Yeah, they have. They've
up.
Like they've clipped off the end of plastic forks and stuck them into their bottom lips as if they're fangs.
Right, like they're ogres, and so they're letting her into the car, and he somehow gets front and says, "Come on, you have to come with me." And she doesn't go with him, and then they beat the fucking hell out of him.
Yeah.
And he throws a punch and doesn't connect, but the guy falls back, and then they shoot it from behind his head. Of him just the bad guy throwing like air fists at the air, missing his face by a mile, and him going ow ooh ah, and finally falls down, and then gets kicked, but the toe is nowhere near him, and you know, mm-hmm. he's on the ground. Mm-hmm. So he gets beat up a couple times. Finally, ends up in the park with all these hippies.
Right, and apparently there was a whole section of the movie that took place in this kind of commune that was taken out.
Oh, please put it back.
Of course. We we need more of this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You did a little research and found this out, right? How do you know this then?
Yeah, I mean, I guess apparently what happened was, and I'm not sure about this, somebody needed a print of it for some festival, and they got a print that was like in their vault, and it had all this extra material in it.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
So there is a print out there that has stuff, fantastic stuff that we've never seen. Apparently.
So I would love to see that.
I would love to see the interpretation. You barely got through the actual film.
Well, yeah.
Now you want to see extra footage?
It was just
I can't believe you. You're so full of shit.
Just because I had a busy day.
Yeah.
That's all.
I know you had meetings.
I forgot. I didn't know how to watch streaming on my Netflix until today. This is what
it's a new thing.
And you skipped all the best parts, I have to say. I think that the musical numbers are really what make the film.
Oh, okay.
They are completely ridiculous.
Well, I did watch that first one that you wanted me to watch, the show business one. So yeah. I did see that one. And that's when
And did you see Speed?
Yeah, I saw Speed.
Which is that from?
That's the one that's all about America and how it runs on speed. It's a song, Speed. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best song in the movie, if you could say that about any of the songs.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that.
It's hard.
It's wrong. It's not a good song.
No.
But it's it's the tallest pygmy.
And so what? Yes, it is. So good.
Go ahead.
So, I forgot. I thought I was hosting. I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead.
Wait, you thought you were hosting?
Yeah, because I'm
sitting
in
a Democrat. Jesus Christ. Everything's about politics with me. I voted for Obama. God damn it. Can we go back to the movie? Shit.
Okay.
Wow. Guy loves politics. What the fuck?
Guy's he's a corporate puppet.
You see that car I drive out there? Puppet money.
Oh, what kind of car is that?
All right. It's used. But listen, the puppet.
What is it?
Drive an Audi.
Oh,
really?
Boy, are you a teacher?
I got
fancy.
Yeah, I'm very
no.
Fancy.
Oh, yeah. See, most of the teachers, they try to throw you off by driving shitty cars.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, look at that. He must not be making. Oh
no, they rolling dough.
Oh my God, they got those rich pensions, those rich health benefits. I see those guys taking their health benefits down to Cartier every week and getting new stents. Yeah.
I've seen some teachers get dental.
Oh, teachers get dental?
What do they think? They work at a toll booth? Come on. Well, they're just teaching kids. Not like anybody could, like a monkey could do that, right?
Right. Well, that's now, yeah. 2 years ago, you were saying.
2 years ago was the opposite.
Like, yeah, all teachers are underpaid. And they're like, oh, we can use some of that money.
But now, as soon as we want to take away union power to affect politics in a certain way, all of a sudden they're overpaid.
Believe it or not, that's a tie into the Apple.
Yeah.
Because that's our future, people, if we keep going this way.
That's right. Wait, that's almost like Idiocracy is this the Apple, right?
Yes.
I don't think the analysis was that deep in the Apple, actually.
I think that's what I'm reading here on IMDb, that he meant that if we keep going in this conservative way, that we would fall into a society run by corporations.
Mm.
Or music corporations.
Music corporations specifically.
Which is a fantastic thing, the fear in the future. Like, we used to fear in the 80s Russians.
Right.
Remember
right.
those? Remember Russians?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The Ruskies.
The Ruskies. And music companies being all so powerful.
Well, I think the Apple was it did have a different take on the like the futuristic dictatorship that has to do something with music, because usually it's that the rock music is outlawed, and this right. is kind of a twist on it where rock music actually it's corporatized and then runs the world, and then the true heartfelt music is the stuff that's stomped down upon, which I guess is this. Because yeah, usually there's like there's the rock and roll, which is stamped down, and then the official music, which is some Muzak is the only thing you're allowed to listen to. So what I'm saying is that I'm wrong.
You talked yourself back into a circle.
I talked myself back into a circle. I apologize.
Oh man. See that?
I saw it. Saw it happen.
Yeah.
It was good. Well, I wanted a political movie, and that's why for you, because Jamie, because you're a political comedian and you work for Colbert Report. I wanted you guys to tie it in.
Sure.
So there you go. See, that all makes sense.
And that there was a Queen musical a couple years ago that played in London, and that was also a futuristic world where rock and roll was outlawed.
Really?
Yes.
That's what is that about that theme? What do you think that is?
I think it's because, like, Mom and Dad want me to turn it down, man.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's just like that writ large. Like it's
okay. Just never ending. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like the man wants to keep us down in our rock and roll.
It's like the those universal themes, like that Bill Moyers did the interview with the that forget it.
Joseph Campbell.
Yes, that's what I was trying. I couldn't think of his name. Yeah. It's like that. It's like a common myth that everybody pops up in all the cultures, right?
Yep.
But also you think about it now, they did a movie where they're like they won't let you play that techno. It's like, yeah, because it's terrible. Yes. Like yes. The kids wake up and are like, holy shit, you're right. Thank you, government, for telling me what to listen to. That is awful. Oh, Kesha is terrible. Thank you for outlawing that.
Well, Footloose was that, where it was in the present mm-hmm. day. It was outlawed.
And completely absurd. I guess it was based on a true story, but I couldn't.
I think there are places where you can dance. Yeah.
I'm sure. In Utah, I'm sure there are playing places. And I played those places. Are you kidding me?
Apparently, they can't laugh either.
I remember when the Surgeon General got fired for recommending masturbation.
Right.
And so I was doing a college, and it turned out it was some Christian college somewhere, maybe Utah. And I said, is there any content restrictions? And she said, well, what do you want to say? I'm like, well, I think I'm going to do a joke about the Surgeon General and masturbation. And she said, what's that about? And I said, well, you know, the Surgeon General recommended that kids masturbate, and she got fired for it. And she goes, I didn't hear about it. So that meant I couldn't say it. she goes, I didn't hear about it. I go, the Surgeon General really happened. She goes, I didn't hear about it.
So it didn't happen?
So I couldn't say it. Anyway, I don't know why it made me want to share that.
It's kind of the
story.
Same. Well, how would you do? How would you, as a performer, perform at the Apple if you were at that music competition? You know,
I don't know. I would just be making fun of everybody's outfits.
Yeah.
Look at you with the angles over there.
Yeah, look at that.
Well,
George Jetson over there.
Yes.
Look at you.
That's based sort of on the Eurovision Song Contest. Do you know about the Eurovision Song Contest?
I know about it.
Yeah, it's quite something. It's mm-hmm. every year, every country in Europe submits a song of the year to mm-hmm. Each country has a contest within itself, and then right. they compete with each other once a year, and it's a big deal in Europe. Like, it's the number one rated show of the year everywhere in Europe. And it's just the worst, like, most terrible pop songs imaginable.
So again, it sounds like something out of a computer. Like, this is what the most people will like this song.
Yes, it's always that. And
didn't some metal band?
Right, this was very controversial. Some metal band. I don't remember.
I forget. Maybe, but some
from
metal,
Norway, maybe.
Yeah, maybe some metal band got, I think, won it or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and they were metal.
Yeah, and it was a big, big controversy because it's always supposed to be this kind of family friendly.
Yes.
Right.
Thing. Yeah. ABBA was a. Was a Eurovision Song Contest winner.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Way back when. They say that every year.
No, because in
big
Europe,
bands ABBA.
In Europe, they know every.
Oh, they're all they all become huge successes.
Huge, I don't know, but they're people who give.
What year did
it's like the San Francisco Comedy Contest? You know,
what year did Dat Fan win that contest?
Last Comic Standing, 2001.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like, ta-da. Oh, he sucks, and goodbye.
Yeah.
And you're the big winner, that was a mistake, and we move on. Let's wrap up the film so we can talk about he ends up with these hippies,
mm-hmm.
and then somehow she ends up with the hippies, and she
lives with
them.
They get married.
They get married, and they have a baby. They show a year later, you know this because he has a beard.
Oh.
A beard. It took about a year for him to glue the beard on. And he's holding a baby. She's all hippied out, and then the bad guys show up with the lawyers. They're going to take her away because she signed this contract for her soul.
And then God comes.
Now, Deus Ex Machina is when
he comes in like a 1980 Sebring.
It's fantastic. Literally comes in a car.
Yeah.
In heaven from the skies.
Yeah.
There's no subtle at all.
Not a terrible kind of, not even a matte effect, but like just kind of an overlay.
It's definitely an overlay. Like they took two pieces of film and put them together.
Of a Chrysler Sebring or something, giant car coming down.
It's funny that if you're in heaven, you would keep up with the current cars.
Well, you drive a Cadillac. And you know, like, God drives a Cadillac.
And you'd want a practical sedan.
Yeah.
Well, that is true. You can drive a big American car in heaven, right? No real gas issues. That's pretty bad.
Right, that's right. You know, yeah,
it's heaven after all.
Or maybe
why
it's
wouldn't you?
Maybe it's like a Cadillac. It might be like a big, because it's a big boxy luxury car.
You can fit all these people in there. Not worth it.
We're going to try to identify the car that God drives.
But God comes down and says to the devil, like, basically, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but he said, I'm going to try a new civilization somewhere else, on another planet.
Oh.
He's going to wipe it away, kind of like Noah and other stories of the Bible. So this is all a big biblical story.
Hmm.
It didn't seem that important to me when it was going on.
Oh, no, biblical proportions. And the devil's like, you can't have a world without me. He's like, I will show you.
Hmm.
And the same guy who plays the head hippie plays God.
Right.
I don't know what the connection of that is.
Because the hippie
God
is
in
so-
you.
Yeah, he's so connected.
Oh, they ran out of actors.
He's so connected.
Yeah, it's to Joss Ackland.
I haven't seen the end of the movie, so this is all exciting. I'm trying to pull it up right now to see what kind of car, but it's still buffering. I'm still buffering here.
That's the problem with Netflix. I need it now. It says instant. I want it instantly.
Yeah.
So having seen the film, and would you recommend other people see this movie?
Well, I think that if you like bad movies and enjoyed Xanadu, you will enjoy The Apple very much.
Jim?
First of all, I think it had everything you want in a movie, you know, except titty. And
so are you saying like you should – but Netflix streaming – here's what you should do. Netflix streaming, put it in the corner, the top left corner of your laptop, bottom left. Go to YouPorn, one of the sites, and just have some boobs down there.
Yeah, every once in a
while. Tyler Durden, click over there just during a song.
You know, the problem, I like to have it in the same shot in the same style. That's the other thing. If a boob comes at me in a different genre, it's not.
You know, I prefer a little subtlety. I prefer to imagine what's under the silver jumpsuit with the giant angular shoulder pads.
Important part I left out in the beginning when they walk into the party, the guy, the male lead, has the biggest male camel toe I've ever seen in my life.
His
balls are just screaming for dear life. The jeans are so tight.
Oh, no, I can't wait to get this back up. Come on.
And I think that alone turns you off to nudity, and you're like, listen, if that's what they're playing with, I'm out.
Continue trying to find the car.
Oh, here it comes. I got it.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, do you have, I don't know if I, a chance to think about what would the moral of this movie, what is the point of this film? How can you sum it up?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Don't get involved with the devil.
But
it's a tale as old as time.
Well, I would say that. I mean, but I think it even has more more in it than that. I mean, it's first of all, it's about going after your dreams.
Sure.
Yes, it's go after your dreams.
It's about leaving. You have to leave your home for you to see it the first time.
Sure.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And then it's got about depression, about fighting back against depression, some exploitation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's got that love lost. And then really finding yourself. It's got the only thing it really, right, again, I don't want to say it again, but that's what it needed, a little nipple.
The apple needed a little nipple.
Okay, so here, I'm going to look for, see what kind of car. Go ahead.
The moral to me, I think, is before you walk in the party, check your balls. Just make sure they're
check your balls and
yeah.
Definitely.
Don't take drinks from people who have already tried to get you to sign a devilish pact.
Eric, I want to talk about the show. You're out here in L.A.
Yes.
I
am here in L.A.
Yes, which is weird.
And why are you out in Los Angeles?
Because I just did a show at the Downtown Independent Theater called The Man with Feet.
That's the name of the show, Man,
the
with,
Man
Feet?
With Feet?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, how many E's in feet?
Three E's.
And tell us about the play. I mean, it's really unique.
It's not a play. It's a set of three Viewmaster reels with a storybook that is based on kind of the Viewmaster reels that came out along with movies and TV shows in the 70s, and it's based on kind of a spoof of the $6 Million Man, but it's a guy and he has these very technologically advanced loafers that are sentient and can talk and do all sorts of flying and fighting and things like that. And so we did a staged reading where everybody in the audience got a Viewmaster and could click through the reels while we had a panel of distinguished comedians doing voices.
And here, who did you have in LA? Who were some of the comedians?
We did. We had Matt Walsh from UCB, Eddie Pepitone, Adam Felber from NPR, Amber Nelson joined us from New York, Andre from Mulan, Ron Lynch did the narration.
And in New York, just a couple of the names, John Hodgman.
Hodgman is actually doing the, we're going to be in the next couple weeks for people who purchase the reels and viewers online, which you can do at www.themanwithfeet.com. That's the man with feet.com. You can spell it with two E's too. That'll take you there. You can download a read along soundtrack with John Hodgman as the narrator.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's worth it's kind of a fun way to do it too. It was fun to be in the audience, but I think it's also kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, initially it was supposed to be a spoof of this kind of clunky storytelling style where you have this booklet and you have to go back and forth from the booklet to looking through the Viewmaster viewer. But then I realized that you can't do a spoof of annoying. It's just annoying. So I succumbed and I decided to make a downloadable soundtrack to make it easier for people.
It's very funny.
Wow. That is, how do you think that? How did you think that up? Mushrooms?
Over many, many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I mean,
you've always been interested in 3D photography, right?
Right. And I had always wanted to do something funny with 3D photography, and that was a big mistake.
What is the process of? I mean, these reels look amazing. They look exactly like the old reels,
mm-hmm.
and the real any of the real Viewmasters. But how did you get those? How do you get those made?
There's a lab in Seattle that is licensed to make them. And it's funny because because usually they do things like, for a annual sales meeting, they'll show here's the new line of Ford models. And that's kind of what their business is now. I mean, they Fisher-Price makes Viewmaster reels for kids, like with Dora the Explorer and Shrek and whatever. Uh-huh. But then there's this other little lab that does like custom reels and like scenic reels when you go out to the Grand Canyon and want to buy Viewmaster reels there, but their main business is like promotional stuff, and I kept saying, you realize that I'm going to sell these, right? And nobody stopped me, so I kept doing it, and I made them.
It is so fucking annoying trying to read the Viewmaster. I don't even know what you mean. You got these things on your eyes, which is what you need to see to read the other thing. Now you got to take them off your eyes and you look in the tiny corner.
Well, and then there's a storybook that tells the story.
And there's the book.
You got to put down the thing, open the storybook. And what was when you were a kid, what would happen was you would get the Viewmaster reel. And when you first got it, you would put the thing in and you'd go, and you just look through the whole thing. And then it would sit around. And eventually, kind of by doing it over and over again and having the booklet sitting around, you would figure out what the story was.
Right, or just by looking at it. But I like your thing, there'd be one great picture of like maybe a trombone or someone falling down or whatever. And then there's a whole long story to get to that point.
Right. Well, that was because they often did a very bad job of translating the stories from the TV show or whatever episode to the storybook. They would either leave things out or have to like fill in things in the story that they didn't get a picture of, because they would actually send somebody out to the set to take pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, there's there's one instance on a reel that they did for Bonanza. I guess the cast of Bonanza was getting annoyed with the Viewmaster photographer hanging around on set. And it made it into a reel of all of them surreptitiously giving a middle finger to the to the photographer.
And so you're done with that play now?
Well, it's not really a play. It was a way to promote the reels.
I mean, you're not. That's all over. I can't go see it. Is what I'm asking.
I can't go see it.
You didn't tell me about it. Why didn't you tell me about it?
Listen, I told you about the other thing, and it was a huge failure. Oh. I don't want to say what that is. And I didn't think you would trust me. It's like that pill I gave you. Nothing happened.
But yeah, you can go and buy it and enjoy it and download the soundtrack.
Go ahead. Did you find the car?
Yeah, I got the car.
What
do you think?
It looks like a pimpin' Cadillac. It could be a Rolls. Do you see it? Can you see it in the reflection?
I can see it in the reflection. I don't think that's a Rolls.
I don't know if it is.
That looks more Cadillac.
Looks pimpy Cadillac.
It's a little boxy for a Rolls.
If you're God, would you not pimp out your Cadillac?
Oh, I would definitely. Yeah. Sure.
Or you borrowed it from a pimp.
I can't believe God couldn't get cars from the future. he's still stuck. You know, whatever it is on Earth, that's what year it is for God.
And by the way, did you notice that the blinker was on the whole time to left? Because he's old.
Well, no, he turned left into the earthly realm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they turned in there.
And so that's called, when that happens, that's called the God machine?
The Deus Ex Machina, yes.
Say that again?
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, it's a way to...
Is that a Latin term?
It's from Greek.
Greek. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's Greek. Okay.
Yeah. How do you end this tragedy or this play? And we don't know. We wrote ourselves in the corner. Well, we'll just have God come and solve the problem that's there. And then they would have a guy come in above the stage.
Yeah, they would swing him in on a rope.
Right.
And say, this is how things are going to end. And that's what happens in this movie.
Wow. Wow. And the movie got made. My theory is that Canada has to make a certain amount of movies every year, right, from Canada, because that they're like their government, right? Just that's how we get, you know, Bryan Adams and things like that.
That's true. Canadian content laws.
Canadian content laws. So maybe that's how this got made.
I think this was a singular vision.
And we didn't have an ending?
Well, no, the Deus Ex Machina. He was like, it's a cheap way of saying I'm cultured by having no ending.
Oh, really? So he thought that was being highbrow to do that.
Also, it's like biblical. Like every Jewish holiday is we tortured, we get the fuck out, and then God saves us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of the same thing. This is an annual tradition.
Oh, okay.
This is every day with your kids. You can sit there when you have kids one day. You can sit them down with the apple, and you can teach them about whatever.
Sure.
So I'm trying to think of something. They made so many movies, these guys. Golden Globus.
They did a couple, like, early Schwarzenegger. Like, did Conan the Barbarian?
I think they did. I'm literally every year, there's about six movies a year. These are not the English ones. There's The Apple. It seems the first one. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. New Year's Evil. This is the type of films they did. Lady Chatterley's Lover. Hello. Death Wish Dose. So even better than the first one. Body and Soul, Last American Virgin, Revenge of the Ninja. I know you like the Ninja,
Jim. I like
Jim.
The Ninja, but the Revenge, not so much. But
yeah.
You know what? Because it just goes against the Ninja. The Ninja is not supposed to be about revenge.
But that's why he got pushed so far.
I know.
They killed his parents, his wife and daughter.
Is this
the first
a real thing?
No, I don't know. Okay. No,
if you ever hear the story of the warrior who goes out to for the Chinese warrior who goes out to kill the guy who killed somebody, he's got it coming, and he pulls out the sword, and the guy spits on him, and he puts his sword back and walks away. Now, why does he do that? The reason why he does that is because the true warrior never kills out of anger. And he was angry because that guy spit at him. So he walked away.
So you should remember that.
That's why the Revenge of the Ninja is kind of like, come on, those guys aren't about revenge.
Is that what happened? He just ruined the end of the movie. coincidentally, they made Breakin', kind of like we were just talking about. I'm sure they made, Ninja 3, which is...
Did they do Electric Boogaloo?
Yep. And they did X-Terminator 2, which is a crazy movie that was on, when I was a kid, on Channel 5 on the local... channel. It was just a guy with a blowtorch just killing people.
Yes, I saw that.
Isn't that a crazy
movie? Saw that.
It was just randomly on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a commercial TV. Like, you can't show that.
That was crazy.
No one noticed.
Rapping.
So they did Breakin', Rapping. They must have done one of those La Bamba movies.
Invasion USA.
What is their company name?
It's two guys, Golem and Globus.
Goleman and Globus?
Golan. Yeah.
Golan.
Like the Golan Heights.
Ooh, 52 Pickup, Firewalker. You know, the VHS, they couldn't stop making movies. Over the Top, which we should be talking about on the show.
Crack House, A Cry in the Dark, Cyborg. Masters of the Barfly.
That was a great movie.
That's a really good movie.
I love Barfly.
Yeah.
They produced that.
That was about, now I'm going to ask you the same damn thing. Everybody keeps asking me, what do you do? I don't know. I remember that. What do you do? Maybe because I hated that question.
They did the Forbidden Dance. They did Disco.
They did.
Oh, man. It all comes together.
They did Breakin' 2, Rapping, Forbidden Dance, and
so any,
Apple.
They did Over
any
the
crap,
Top.
Any crappy fad, they will...
Over the Top, arm wrestling?
Yeah, they will grab onto any crappy fad and make a movie about it.
Wow.
They made the Captain America movie, which they had the rights to Captain America, but they weren't ready to make it. And according to the contract, they had to make it, otherwise they lost the rights. So it was like this cheapy Captain America, which you can find anywhere. Death Wish 5. How many Death Wishes were there? Like 10, right?
They did Masters of the Universe.
The live action one with Dolph Lundgren?
Just says Masters of the Universe film.
Not a movie. It's a film.
Yes. Well, just like that's not a play. It's a reading.
Yes.
The Man with Feet.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, The Championship Season, Tough Guys Don't Dance.
Listen.
Wow. Emmanuel 6.
It's good to be working.
Lady Chatterley's Lover? Come on.
Yeah, they know where the money is.
Kickboxer.
Yes. This all makes sense. All these films tie in somehow.
Yep.
They just dug their money in through it.
Cheerleaders Beach Party.
Oh,
I'd like to see
that. They made a movie called Puss in Boots, and look at the picture. It's Christopher Walken. Ooh, yeah. There's a whole period of Christopher Walken, which is the shittiest movies. We were going to review All American Murder, which I just recommend you go see. It's directed by the guy who played Potsy from Happy Days.
Anson Williams.
Anson Williams.
I had a meeting with him once.
You did? How did
the meeting go?
He had a vision of doing a movie. He had gone to Austin, I guess, for a weekend or something, and he came back and as if he had just come back from the pearly gates itself. You, Jake, we got to do a show now. Just all the people down there and the music scene and the Sixth Street. And he just wanted to do a show about it, but he didn't know what to do. And
how did you get involved?
I had a meeting to host the show or whatever, but I didn't get it.
There was
it.
No show.
There never turned out to be a show.
Yeah, you didn't get the job. There was no job.
And that same week, Jimmy Pardo was meeting with Fonzie. Interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. How did that go?
I don't think either. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Henry Winkler.
I'm going to be editing for us. This is a very long episode. Thank you guys for both coming.
Thank you for having
me. Eric, you promote again your website.
www.themanwithfeet.com.
Check that out.
That's feet with three E's.
Anything else you want to promote that you have?
That's more than enough.
Yeah, that's a lot. Jimmy Dore.
JimmyDoreComedy.com. You go over there and say, if you like funny things, there's some funny things over there.
Right.
I love funny things.
Yeah.
And say more.
I do a radio show called The Jimmy Dore Show, which is, I like to refer to it as making fun of the news on the radio, but it's really funny.
It's very funny. And then your podcast, of course.
A Comedy and Everything Else, where I interview other comedians and we talk about comedy and everything else.
Anyway, for this show, go to proudlyresents.com. And you can email me at reachadam@mac.com or proudpod@gmail.com.
Wow, right. That's a lot of ways to get a hold of you.
Listen, or you can call me. There's another thing you want. Put your arm around me.
J-Date.
You can J-Date me. Friend Finder. Anyway, thank you very much.